Hey everybody, okay. It's Boss Barrel Radio episode 155 for all of those people keeping track of our episodes. It's 155. I am Griff Hoffman, and with me, as always, is Jeff Brewer.
I wasn't always here.
But you are now.
I'm always there. You're in that special place.
In my heart.
Yeah, there too.
In my lobster balls.
There you go. So how's it going, Griff? What's going on out there?
Summertime, springtime, I guess. So now my allergies are in full flare.
Have you got that summertime sadness?
Yep, I do.
I need to update it for 2015. Shit. are you gonna lay me down and nah, honey, I'm good. I don't know. I don't know, music on the radio.
Yeah, something.
Shut up and dance with me.
I have my perennial style. What's that song by Taylor?
What?
Evergreen fashion. Is that what it was?
What are you talking about?
What's that song that's playing all the time now?
I don't know.
Maroon 5 sugar cup of.
Yeah, totally.
Several grams of saccharin.
I think it's usually, I think they're like, I'm going to have a lot of interesting sexual intercourse with you while using recreational drugs.
Oh, that's the Maroon 5 thing? Or is that the Summer Jam thing?
Oh, I just figured sugar was about cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Really makes that song far more entertaining if it actually is.
Yeah, it does.
So I had a question for you, Griff, which I was going to ask, but then you clicked record. Mm-hmm. And my question, which actually is becoming relevant right now, is first of all, are you a cat owner, Griffin?
Yes.
Yes, you're a cat owner. Do you keep your cats off of your consoles?
As much as I can.
Every time I play my PS4, one of my cats is like, oh, nice, my bed's turned on.
Oh, the warm box. Excellent.
And literally, I walked in to go upstairs and I podcast on the top floor, and I walked by my cat who was heaving, and I was like, "Oh, poor kitty!" And he was lying on top of my PS4 heaving.
Oh no!
And I'm like, "That's perfect." So I had like a mild panic, and I went to do my usual PS4 clear off, which is stick my finger into the little ridge,
uh-huh.
You know, the side ridge.
Slower, tell me. Yeah.
You got to go slow to get all of it out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You really want to get the maximal release, you have to really go slow. Mm-hmm. So I scooped
out
all
the cat. Can you do that again?
Do
it again, but ASMR.
You have to go slow. Anyway, so yeah, I wanted to see if you had a strategy for keeping your cats off of all of your shit, because it's all going to be dead.
yeah, my strategy is I take the flash off my Gundam models, and then I glue them to the top of all of my consoles like those pigeon warding spikes that they put on buildings.
That's a decent idea.
What if
it inadvertently comforts the cat even more, though?
Oh, if they're, like, into it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Then I'd probably, like... I've thought about maybe putting, like, tinfoil on there, because aren't cats supposed to hate tinfoil? I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah. I'm hoping that somehow causes, like, RF interference and just completely fucks the console. Like, in the act of trying to decat your console, you just destroy the entire thing.
And then it's just full of cats.
You have to blow it up like in Caddyshack.
You have to blow it out. You take it like a cartridge for the Nintendo and blow it out, and then just a bunch of cats come shooting out of it.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. No, I've been having trouble with Mac, the little new one, and the PlayStation 3, because we have it set up like outside of the entertainment area so we can watch Blu-ray on a different TV. And He is fascinated with the disc drive, like how it sucks in the disc. So he'll watch it, and then he'll just sit up by it, and then he'll walk over the George Foreman-esque grill-shaped PlayStation 3 until he paws randomly on the eject button. So when we were watching Big Hero 6 the other week, we had to rewatch the intro of that show like 3 times.
Awesome. Is he considering getting a second job so that he can afford one? Also, can I just say, I love how all of the PS3s retained some George Foreman-ness, even though they like changed pretty dramatically between revisions. They never let it go.
No, they didn't. Yeah.
Incidentally, you can actually get your PS3 serviced at Meineke.
What kind of warranty does that come from? Come with?
I don't know. Oh. But yeah, cats. My cats are just really. They just know how to push my buttons when it comes to all my electronics.
Yeah.
They have a way. Yeah. Hoping you'd have a solution, but alas, I should have known.
One of the things that I had to do with Billy was on the old Xbox 360, there was it didn't have a built-in Wi-Fi, so you had to get this little adapter and attach it to the back. But then it had this like flip-up antenna on it. So Billy, the older cat, would go to it and just start gnawing on it. And I'm like, oh god, it's not even mine. So so what I did is I took it and I took chili powder and vodka and just like slathered that thing in it. And then took her and put her by it, and then she would like sniff it a couple times. Took a little like face rub and then just ran from the room. That's what I do with the door stops as well.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, I could not in good conscience put like chili powder on my console though, right? Like this is the person who has like protective sleeves for its protective sleeves.
This is why I was okay with this, and because it was like it's, you know, a peripheral item that's attached to the console. It's not actually So that's the justification in my mind as to how that was going to happen. And then it was also for the greater good.
I think I should just get giant console condoms and put them on my PS4.
Oh yeah, yeah, that'll totally not interfere with the heatsink.
What's that?
That'll not interfere with the heatsink at all.
No, I'll be fine. I'll use something really conductive like rubber.
Oh, perfect. Or water.
Yeah.
Cats hate water, you just submerge all your consoles.
Well, when you're putting a console condom on, you need to use a water-based lubricant, or else, you know, it's gonna erode the condom. So yeah,
totally not safe. Yep,
that's just common sense, man.
Yeah, condom sense.
Yeah. I'll just continue to be sad about the fact that I opted for an open console tower as opposed to a closed one, and all my cats just have decided that that's the greatest place in the world to hang out.
Well, okay. Here's this. Do you have heating blanket cat beds for them?
No. Okay. We thought about it though.
You could distract them with that.
Oh.
Or put cat traps out, just a bunch of like empty boxes.
Uh-huh.
Lure them with those, entice them.
The mere sight of an empty box will deter him from his mission. Uh-huh. It's funny because he's so determined to sleep on the PS4 that even when I turn on like my Wii U or my PC over there, he just sleeps on the PS4.
Huh.
he's determined that when the TV is on, his favorite bed is going to be warm. Okay. It's kind of amazing.
You need to super cool your PlayStation 4.
Oh, man. That's brilliant.
Do you have some liquid nitrogen?
No, but I have a laptop chill mat.
Okay.
And those things are wonderful. They work miracles.
I bet they do. That doesn't sound like a bunch of nonsense. Get a ice pack, or you know what, just a bag full of ice, put it on your PS4.
All right,
there you go. Cat blocker.
Maybe I can tell my cat that my PS4 once killed a cat.
Oh yeah, that'll
just so it doesn't want to associate with it.
But then it might like have a grudge and want to dominate it and be like listen, I got an arm on this cat killer here. I've got eyes on you. You're not. Have you just tried talking to your cats and explaining, you know?
All the time.
Okay.
Usually I talk to my cats whenever other company is over. Like, I'll have deep and meaningful conversations with them and just ignore whoever is over.
That's that's the healthiest. I mean, because in that social setting, that's where cats open up the most.
Well, you have to make the cats feel comfortable. I mean, uh-huh. You know, that'd just be rude to your cat to not ignore your guests and talk to it the entire time.
Right. Obviously, the guests are there to see you, but, you know, they might not be there to see the cats nor the cats. So you want to keep them involved.
Well, I just assume they're there to see me talking to the cats about why I don't like them.
No, that's what your internet webcam that I've surreptitiously set up in the middle of your house is for.
It's just that and butt chats.
Surprise! I've been to Maine, but without your knowledge, just to set up a webcam in your house.
Did you also hide a statue under my floorboards? a golden statue just to spite me.
Yep. Yeah. One from your dad, the one your dad gave me.
Yes, that you laid a curse upon.
I did. It's actually a pure solid 24 karat gold solid amiibo Mario.
No.
Actually, it was the elusive silver Mario amiibo, but then it was recast with real gold.
That's the hot new buzz in the amiibo fandom.
It is.
Silver.
Hot silver.
Because all that glitters is not gold.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm actually doing pretty good on the amiibo hunt. I only have one left.
Oh god,
for
really?
This entire wave, yeah.
What is the last
Greninja. Over at Toys R Us. So I'm gonna have to go camp out there like an animal.
Now you say do you have them all in your possession, or are all pre orders locked in?
They're all pre ordered, so I have none of them, and they're probably all gonna be canceled. They're actually going to be sent to a hobo.
Okay, yeah.
That's how it works.
Yep. Well, I think actually that's a good segue. Have you seen any of the Nintendo's quarterly report that came out?
I have.
It was translated recently.
I didn't like dive deep, but I think I got all the highlights. Yeah. The big thing, I guess, is that they have turned a profit for the first time in, what, 3 years, is it?
Yeah, yep.
Which is pretty cool. I'm very muted about it, though, because their numbers are not that good, and I feel like so much is still riding on whatever they do next.
Right, you know? And didn't they also just attribute the profit to the discrepancy between the dollar and the yen?
Usually they attribute that to their shortfall, but perhaps,
this one, they're like, yep, it worked in our favor this time, I guess.
I think the only thing that Nintendo cares about is the value of the yen. That's basically just their entire business model. Is the yen doing well? Fuck.
Actually, Nintendo's goal is to replace the yen entirely with
amiibo.
Silver Mario amiibos.
Yeah, it's. I think they had decent sales, and I'm sure amiibo helped. Because they've sold 10 million of them.
10 million,
bananas. I think it's more than the Wii U now officially.
Yep.
Which is great. And then they announced all these things, which I'm not super jazzed about, like the theme park,
yeah,
which you touched on. They talked about their mobile games, I think. I guess they're planning to do 5 by, what is it, 2017 or something?
Yeah, that was 5 mobile games by 2017, the end of the 2016 fiscal year, and they're like, no, that may the verbiage. I'm trying to actually pull up the actual thing here because
they're like, that might not sound like a lot, but we want that to actually like, we're doing this to show you just how seriously we're taking this.
Right. We're committed to the Nintendo brand of quality, the seal of quality,
which makes me hope that they'll do it so stupidly Nintendo-ish that it won't be so bad. But I don't know. I've seen Nintendo do free to play, and it can be just as gross as other free to play. So. I'm nervous. I'm real nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the Mario Kart guy on. Did you read that?
No, I have not. All right. Well, I can't pull up the thing because Twitter's not working for me right now. So
we'll have to go with
my spotty memory on this.
They put, I think his name is Hideki Kono or something. He's the guy who was either the producer, or I think he was the producer on Mario Kart 8.
Uh-huh.
They took him off Mario Kart. Now he's in charge of mobile development. So I guess that does tell us that Nintendo is going to be the ones making these mobile games. Which is kind of interesting because I think people were kind of wondering, like, is it going to be Dina or DNA doing most of this stuff? Is it going to be Nintendo? Like, where is that going to fall? And it could still be, like, DNA kind of giving a lot of assistance in development. But
right.
It looks like they really want to own this. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Or at least look like they are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if they didn't want to own this, they could... There's so many... They have so many different properties, like, or studios. Like, they could farm this out to one of their second parties.
Mm-hmm.
But they put this really close to the center, you know? Like, well, they've given this to a guy who works on one of their tent poles.
Sure. I thought that the DNA involvement was going to be primarily with creating the universal network, like the
yeah.
Nintendo Club or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. It wasn't entirely clear if DNA would help with mobile, but yeah, the official statements were essentially, you know, they're kind of more for the back end. Like, you know, we're taking them so we don't have to think about like distribution and like pricing models and stuff. But I got to figure at some point, like DNA is going to, like, even if it's just like, okay, you guys should really make a free-to-play game, like, DNA is going to have an influence in what the final product is on the sure. mobile side, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, I don't have any problems with DNA for the most part. I know you're a little bit more skeptical, but you know, for the most part, I think that they are not nearly as nefarious as, you know, some mobile things out there can be.
Yeah, I mean, they seem better than you know, your King and, you know, whatever else, Supergiant or Super or whatever it's called, not Supergiant, Supercell. Is that what it's called?
Supercell. Yeah, Supercell. Yeah, that's true. That's yep.
But I don't know. I guess what I'm concerned about is every Japanese company that's been like, hey, we're making mobile games now, is like a shell of its former self. Like, look at what's happening with Sega. Sega is not doing so hot right now. And they're having some issues with their whole like console and handheld side of development. And they're delisting mobile games and all this stuff.
Yeah. And they're not going to be at E3 anymore.
Yep. It's real sad.
Hey, but that Yakuza 5 is getting like an American release.
Hey, that's pretty cool. I'll probably get that.
Yeah,
I enjoyed. I haven't played a Yakuza game before, so
nice backpedaling there. I trust that they're all right.
No, I'm saying I don't think I need to play more than one Yakuza game, but I might play one.
Okay,
because I've never actually played any before.
Yeah,
and maybe I'll like it.
The other thing that I wanted to just tie back in with that little release was I really loved the Amiibo section of it, where they say specifically in it that this is why I wish I had the write up for it. But in talking about the success of Amiibo, they're like,
I can find it.
What did they say? They describe Amiibo as being absolutely like definable and necessary for certain content in video games, and they're like, we really want to get Amiibo out to the people, so we're gonna start re-ramping up production on some of the more popular models that have specific definable in-game content that people are missing out without them. And it's like, what? Like, specific and definable gameplay has never been associated with Amiibo yet.
Well, it's funny because it's also a bit of a backpedaling, or not a backpedaling, but like an about face, because they were always like, yeah, Amiibo's not going to like do anything like that you couldn't already do. Like, yeah. They kind of got out of the gate saying, like, you know, we're not going to be like those other guys and gate content with Amiibo, but they kind of did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, I think it's pretty much specifically alluding to like Marth with that, and then
yeah, where it unlocks the extra characters and sure. like Toad yeah. unlocking like the little extra little mini game and right. And Captain Toad and stuff.
Yeah, but they just seemed as too.
Go ahead.
No.
I was gonna say the squids unlock like levels.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Platoon, but go ahead, sorry.
Bonus content. Oh, I was just going to say that if you ever find that, it's okay if you don't. Basically, if you read through the translation, Nintendo seems just as befuddled as everybody else about why Amiibo is popular.
It is true. See, I need to get a second copy of all my rares, so that way I can actually take them out of their packaging yeah. and use them for their intended purpose.
The success of the Amiibo is just as similar as the success of the PlayStation 4. Like, nobody in that company knows what they're doing right.
Maybe we're in the era of things succeeding in spite of themselves.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's just the rubber band effect of the PlayStation 3 era.
I do not understand why... like how the PS4 has not slowed down. Seriously, yep. Like 22 million, I think is the latest number. What the fuck is going on there?
I don't,
it just blows my mind.
Yeah, exactly. What? So you can go play Bloodborne, I guess. I mean, what
it's a
else?
Great game.
Yeah. Destiny. You get some Destiny. You like that game? You put that on your.
Apparently, people
4?
Do. People are excited about those $15 DLCs that add a boss.
Yeah.
And a raid.
Whatever. That's not for me, but. Something's gonna fill that wow hole.
This is what I'm most afraid of all, to be honest. I'm most afraid that to people who are buying these consoles now, like younger people, uh-huh. the content that is coming out is like equivalent in their minds to what we like perceive the previous generations having to offer. Like for them, like Dying Light and I don't know whatever else is like on the level of all the shit that came out by now. in the previous generation, and they don't even see any difference. They're like, this is just as good, and we're just getting old.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Right. But I don't think so. I think that this is. I think this has been a.
They obviously can compare the things, the gap in quality, because everything is already getting re-released as an HD remix mastered for the current gen consoles. So they're like, oh man, remember when Gears of War launched on the Xbox 360 and that was like crazy and like, you know, a paradigm shift for third person shooters? Yeah. Well, I guess we're getting it here again.
But see, now they're going to be like, oh, this Gears of War game is not nearly as good as, like, I don't know, Uncharted or something, or some other third-person shooter. Like, they're going to be like, oh, these games suck by comparison.
But there's no Uncharted.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, it's like they have other stuff, you know, whatever. Sunset Overdrive. Oh, this game sucks compared to Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
Sunset Overdrive revolutionized the genre. This is just a copycat.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think anybody
played Sunset Overdrive, so I don't know.
That's true, yeah. The people purchased the white one with the pack in and then just immediately threw Sunset Overdrive out.
Yeah.
Yep. Just traded it in for $20 off of Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone who I know went to sell Call of Duty Ghosts at a GameStop, I believe. No, well, a local game store. The price they were offered was 10 cents.
Yep.
I was amazed.
Was that cash or trade?
Cash, I think. I think it was 30 cents trade.
Ooh.
I was like, this is even lower than like Madden.
Well, hey, just keep that in mind, because Nintendo is going to be receiving in non-current gen items now. So, you know, if you've been wondering where you can dump off all your old video games and get a fair price for them, GameStop's your man.
GameStop is still not the answer.
Go
to eBay.
That terrifies me the most, because, you know, people are going to be just... Because the one thing about that is, here in Iowa, if people would go to a GameStop, they're like, oh, could I trade in this copy of Bucky O'Hare for the Nintendo? And they're like, we don't take old games. You'll have to go to the old game store across the street. And then they're
for
like...
For losers.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh... Okay, I guess I won't. And you're like, oh, that cartridge lives. and then you could,
that's
like,
true.
I could like intercept them. Like, I had a friend who he would say, like, I can't take him in here, but if you follow me outside of this establishment, I will give you cash for what you're trying to sell right now.
If you want a handy or something, I mean, you know,
free
I'm
of
flexible.
Charge. Yeah. No, that just terrifies me that now you're going to have people going into a GameStop and like dumping out this big old bin of stuff, and they're like, once things that they couldn't take in, they'd have to refer them to a place that actually cares about the quality of their games that are being handed over, and will have them for a fair price. Now GameStop is just going to like sit on a million copies, everything that they get in, and that, you know, artificially inflate the rates for old video games.
And you know that they're also going to like, you know how they like slash stuff before they throw it out?
Yeah.
Even though it's like perfectly good.
Yeah.
They're going to get like a copy of Track and Field and be like, nobody wants this, and just slash it and throw it out in the dumpster.
Yeah. Just cut the box in half as the internet weeps.
Yeah.
Sorry, we can't take anything in that's still pre-shrink wrapped.
You'll have to open it so we can sell it used for double the price.
Oh.
God damn it.
But that's the other thing. The other question that's coming up with that is like, okay, so if somebody does come in with, you know, a copy of, like, let's just say Chrono Trigger or something like that, and like, are they going to be testing it there? Like, the stores don't have the capacity to, like, where they just throw it in a Retron or something and see if it works and then ship it off. Does the battery work in it? Like, what kind of testing is? So to me, it's
I doubt they'll test the save battery. I mean,
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Right? So what is this? This makes that's what scares me, is you're gonna see this drive in inflating old video game prices.
Aren't they only doing it like two stores right now though?
That could be.
Yeah, I think
it's online. They're not selling them at stores.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's GameStop. They kind of suck. They always have. they have their moments, but yeah, I mean, you know, the classic game industry or business or whatever is so small to begin with. I don't think this is going to make a huge dent. I don't think people have been holding their NES cards until GameStop would accept them, you know, because they're not going to take much for them.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
So I'm not too concerned.
Yeah.
I just want a classics game market, a classic game market to exist. I feel like there's only one store in the entire like 40 mile radius of where I live where I can pick up classic games, and it's probably going to go out of business like tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think GameStop is going to change that by any means.
Yeah.
You're still not going to be able to buy games in store because they just don't have the room for it.
Yeah. Got to clear those 8 shelves for Call of Duty.
Yeah. We need more Disney Infinity room.
Yep.
These are just flying off the shelves.
Yep. Remember that old rack that used to have PC games? Fuck. Yeah. We got a shipment of Donald in.
Oh, yeah. Hot D.
Sad state of affairs.
Yes. Well, speaking of a sad state of affairs, did we talk about Konami last time? It's been a while.
We talked about Konami a little bit. We talked about Kojima and Konami having their little falling out. There's been some more happenings around that.
Hubbub.
You had a great little Facebook comment in there.
Oh, the one that I said to Phil Kohler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Thank you.
What was it? It was like Konami's E3 booth is just going to be a garage sale. Everything must go.
I don't know. What's this, Contra? 10 cents.
See, I wish they would do that, but no, they're actually quite litigious, and they won't give away their IP. You know, like they're going to keep Castlevania, they're going to keep Metal Gear Solid. They're not going to give these things away, and they're not going to do anything with them.
Right.
That's the saddest thing, honestly.
Right. So instead, it's not going to be a garage sale. It's going to be a hot tub and a pachinko machine.
Yeah. And just someone's iPhone just sitting around with like a shitty version of Yu-Gi-Oh! Blitz on there or something.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what?
Remember, you played Yu-Gi-Oh! Zapland or something, right?
Hell yeah. I have no idea what Zapland is, but that sounds great.
Yeah, something like that. Didn't you download like a version?
Yeah,
of
that thing was terrible.
Yeah, it only had like 3 cards instead of 5 or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah. God, you're I repressed that. You're right.
Dungeon Dice Monsters.
that is actually the name, is it?
No, there's a. You don't know about Dice Monsters?
That was that a sub game that they did in one of the episodes or something?
That was a sub game they did in one of the episodes with Duke Devlin.
Oh
the
yeah,
Dice Monsters champion. I literally saw at a local bookstore they have Dice Monsters for sale, and I kind of want to buy them. They look so dumb.
Wait, are they Yu-Gi-Oh! Dice Monsters?
They're Yu-Gi-Oh! Dice Monsters.
Oh, man.
It's like a bunch of blind packages, and I don't even understand how there could be a game around that thing. It was so dumb and like inexplicable.
Yeah. I'm sure it's just like a super watered-down like D&D tabletop situation where you're just moving monsters into attack range and... That's about it.
I think it's. Have you ever played that game? I think it's called Box Life for the DS art style. Box Life?
No.
Basically, it's a game where you put boxes down and you have to unfold them a certain way. You have to cut them so that they unfold into 6 pieces in different patterns.
Okay.
That's basically Dungeon Dice Monsters. You open your dice up and they unfold into patterns.
What? Oh my god. What? That sounds insane.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Now I really want to find these.
But yeah. So Konami, what's going on with Konami? Tell me about Konami.
Last we talked, they kind of put the kibosh on Kojima.
Mm-hmm.
And now recently they were delisted from the U.S. Stock Exchange while simultaneously canceling PT.
Yep. And they didn't just cancel
Silent Hills, excuse me.
Yeah, they canceled Silent Hills, but it was like a scorched earth campaign, and they were like, "Hey, remember PT? That's going to be gone in 3 days, like gone." Like it's the first game I think that has been not only like just pulled from the store, but like actually like removed from the servers forcibly.
Yeah, yeah. I think Adam Boyce is walking around like it's doing a walk around the country and just going to people's houses, knocking on their door, and asking if you can delete PT off their hard drive.
Well, did you get the email from PlayStation? They're like, don't delete PT because you can't get it back.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw the thing happen, like when Rush Fushstick or whatever his name is from Polygon or wherever he works, it was like, I deleted it and now I can't download it again. Oh crap. And then all the headlines started pouring in after that.
Polygon editor does something stupid, internet goes crazy.
Yeah. I was really lucky because I had deleted it, and then the day that it was, when they said, like, you can no longer download this anymore.
So I got it back.
I got it back that night. It was like, I set it up and then had to head out. But yeah, I'm going to put all of my devices on eBay as a bundle with my PlayStation 4 with PT included and my iPhone 5S with Flappy Bird original. OG Flappy Bird.
Don't you lose Flappy Bird when you like change accounts? Does that happen?
I don't know, but I'm not willing to find out.
Okay. So you don't have Flappy Bird Family Edition, just the OG?
Yeah, just original. That flap.
That flap. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I was one of those people who, I liked PT. I thought it was pretty cool. There's been so much hyperbole flying around about this game now.
Oh, yeah. Old.
They're like, it's the greatest game ever made. And I was like, you know, you just walk around for like 6 hours.
Yeah. Did that come out this year, or was that was last year at Gamescom, right?
I think so. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it was a really cool demo. It was one of the most interesting teasers I've ever played, but it's just a teaser.
Right. I mean, it's an interesting experiment. It's very interesting in what it tried to do. And even if there was never like a stinger at the end of it where it's like Silent Hills by Norman Reedus. I think it would have still been a phenomenal little piece of experimental game that was put out.
Oh, yeah. But it's just silly to be like, yeah, this is the best horror game in years. I'm like, well, it's the best 2 minutes of a horror game in years.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it is sad. It's sad that Konami has decided to do this kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. So the Silent Hills game that was under Kojima was also canned. They said it's no longer in development, Konami that is, and then, you know, other people involved in it, like Guillermo del Toro said it's no longer a thing, and so did Norman Reedus. So seems like there's some bitterness towards that.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of rumors flying around that the CEO of Konami is like crazy and just wants to leave console gaming behind completely, which isn't necessarily an insane thing to do,
right?
Given the market climate, but apparently he's just like on a power trip and is like, no, we're shutting it all down.
Mm-hmm. But we're still gonna make that next Metal Gear.
Yep. Wink. Don't you mean that next Metal Gear clothing line?
Yeah.
I love how they. They're like, something in Metal Gear is coming, and it's the clothing connection. They love to troll with those clothes.
Mm-hmm. I think that and Kojima himself must be like contractually obligated to make a certain amount of Metal Gear 5 Twitter posts in a week, because from what used to be an insane flood of fan art and cosplay and imagery and hand-drawn stuff that he's just always reposting, it's gone to, like, two a day, right? Back-to-back, and then done.
Wait, so he's still posting about MGS5?
Yeah, he'll still retweet things that's like, you know, these people dressing up as Ocelot and Boob Girl, or this one's a hand-drawn picture of Snake as a devil. And you're like, okay.
Oh, wow.
But then it has gone literally from, like a massive spamming of 10 to 15 of those to two a day at most.
That's sad. Also, I'm looking at his Twitter right now, and he's retweeting all the Metal Gear Solid clothing.
Yeah, yeah. That
it is so, it's so weird. It's like not even like MGS-y. It just has MGS logos on it. It's like varsity jacket.
T-shirt. I went to MGSU.
Yeah. It's very much from like the like fan gamer threadless school of design, but just like, I don't know, it's I'm not crazy about it. But anyway,
yeah,
I also love the waif like American Apparel models wearing all of it. Just feels so wrong. Anyway, so what else is happening in the world?
I don't know, not a whole lot. What do we got here?
We should probably touch on Yooka-Laylee. How do you feel about ukulele? Don't care.
Oh, okay.
How do you feel about it?
The story I don't care about, but actually watching the little gameplay, I thought it looks really cool to have like a big old goofy open world action platformer in current gen state. It looked pretty neat. Like I'm like, oh, that's like a return to form, and it just looks extra pretty. So I was into it, but I don't give a shit about the lineage and the pedigree.
Their Kickstarter video is very like low key. It's like, hey, here's ukulele. You should give us some money. It's kind of like, it's like they just talk about it as if like it's been a year since Banjo-Kazooie and they're working on the sequel.
Yeah.
They're all just really understated and British, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You could do more to hype me for this game.
No, sure. They have to be really careful because of the Peter Molyneux effect. If any British person ever says anything mildly hyperbolic, they immediately get distrusted because of what Peter Molyneux has done to this great nation.
That extends to the French as well, thanks to David Cage.
Oh, yeah, but that's cute. That's not annoying. David Cage is just, like, hilariously adorable.
It's like nobody takes him seriously, but everyone has a good laugh about it at the same time.
Exactly, right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, go make your weird movies, David Cage.
But yeah, has it broken records for Kickstarter? It's gotten like $1 million in 8 hours or something.
Yeah, I only know anecdotally, like it as of a couple days ago, it was like the third highest, fastest Kickstarter, like behind the Pebble Watch or
I was
going to
say, but
really like
beat Pebble Time.
Ugh. It's pedal time.
Did we discuss that awful Kickstarter video? I think we did. I'm not going to go into it again. It's so bad. But yeah, it's cool. I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, I've gotten really cautious about anything Kickstarter now. I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kickstarter, though, how about that new Castlevania tease? Or not Castlevania, but Igavania.
Igavania. Yeah.
Did you look at the little Sword or Whip website?
Yeah, I did. I chose. I chose Sword.
Sword, what's wrong with you? You gotta choose Whip, bro.
I know. No, I'm not choosing the Whip. I'm choosing Sword because I like the games that have the sword in it.
No, you're wrong.
No. The sword is good.
I want both to be there, which I'm sure is what's going to happen.
You know, I can't think of, this might be pretty blasphemous here, but I can't think of a Castlevania game with Whip that I liked.
That's fair. I mean, they're very different. What about games that have Whips, but there's a couple of them, and there's also a lot of other weapons?
No, doesn't count. Like, Whip is like Richter, one weapon, you got that, you got your sub-weapons, you run around, you're doing that crap. And then, like, the sword to me represents, like, the Castlevania Symphony of Night design, where it's like that in the DS games.
Yeah. I didn't really think of that dichotomy. I was more just like, whips are cooler because...
Well, then you were a true Igarashi fan.
I just assumed that whatever he made, it was going to be... Because he wasn't working on the older Castlevania entries, was he?
No.
I didn't think so. Yeah, he picked up right around when Symphony of the Night came out. I think he worked on Rondo of Blood, maybe?
Oh, actually, one? I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
I think it was. I can Google it. But I'm excited about that, even though Kickstarter.
Yeah, whatever.
The last kickstarted game by an exiled former great is not looking so hot with Mighty No. 9.
Oh, I was just gonna ask what's happening with that. Like, it seems kind of quiet on that front.
They've shown it. Nobody likes it.
Oh no!
Everyone is like, this looks lame. It's pretty much what it boils down to.
Huh.
It's like really like crappy, simple hallways and uninspired design. It's really sad.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's what I hear anyway. I haven't actually looked at it, but there's been a lot of negativity floating around about it.
It's a conspiracy, man. Those are just Konami plants who are trying to defame the Mega Man name.
Well, that's Capcom though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I said yeah, Konami. Capcom. You know, Capcom's hatred for Mega Man is so great.
That franchise stays completely dead, even any offshoots they might have.
Exactly.
But yeah. So yeah, I'm excited about that new IGA project, even though I think it will be Kickstarter, and I feel like, I don't know, I can't get excited about Kickstarter anymore. Yeah. It's too much of a crapshoot most of the time.
I don't care. It's just another revenue stream. Kickstarter is essentially meaningless at this point.
I guess if you know you're taking the more reasonable approach. I mean, given the right Kickstarter project, I could get excited. But anything where it's like, we've done concept art, now give us a lot of money, I'm like, oh, this is like not even a thing yet.
You're right.
I can't think about this. So.
Yeah, well, at least with Ukulele, they have like a functional build that they showed in their
video. Yeah, that did make me feel better. Like they, you know, it wasn't just like wireframes or, you know, work in progress, alpha build or whatever. Yeah. It was like, hey, here's an environment with the character moving throughout it and using all of his moves.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's definitely very promising. And they also, the way they described it, they're like, yeah, like we could do this on our own, but we can do more with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that makes me feel good.
Yep. More money. So. Please.
Yeah. So what else is happening out there?
Oh, man.
there's some, the HoloLens. We don't really need to talk about the HoloLens.
I haven't heard anything more about that.
Just wrote it down. It's a HoloLens. It's holograms.
Yeah.
Maybe Milo might feature in
yet another way for Microsoft to look at you in your home.
Well, no, I think you're looking at projections that Microsoft puts out, so maybe they want you to look back.
No, but there's cameras in there.
Oh yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
you can't trust cameras, man.
You can't. You have to tape them all up because the NSA is watching you.
Yep.
That's why they put the front facing camera on the phone. Duh.
Exactly. That's why. Yeah, I cover all my phone cameras with electrical tape.
I cut them out. I cut them out. Just like I cut my own eyes out. Yeah.
I actually just open the phone and just solder the camera. Like I just take it. I like actually solder the camera itself and then just take it out and close back up again.
Oh, okay.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
But I do.
You take the evil out of it. You solder you block the NSA transmitting device that's in the phone.
Well, also if you have a picture taken, it takes a piece of your soul away. So there's that too.
Yeah.
So I wrote down HoloLens like in the middle of the week. I was like, that's a thing. They're probably going to be games that leverage that somehow.
They've shown HoloLens off before, though.
They have. They showed it again at like a big Windows 10 event, and they actually let people use it this time. And apparently, you know, has a kind of a shitty field of view, but it's the actual holograms are supposed to be pretty cool. So, hey, I like interesting technology that might make its way over to gaming at some point.
Didn't the Oculus Rift get like a price and release date or something like that? Like the consumer version?
Oh yeah, it's supposed to come out next year, early next year. I don't think they priced it yet. They might have though.
Yet another gaming device coming out in 2016. Am I right?
Totes. What other gaming devices are coming out in 2016?
I just mean gaming things. Things in games that are getting pushed to 2016.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so that's happening. What else is going on in the world? Oh, I thought this little thing was funny. Did you see any of the Final Fantasy 15 demo feedback
section? I did. Yeah, I read all of them after you sent.
It was so goofy.
Yeah.
And dumb.
I think your philosophy on that was absolutely perfect, where I think you just said this game's never going to come out, and they're just going to be constantly updating the shitty demo.
I love the response to the Cindy complaints.
Oh,
they were like,
God.
They were like, listen, she's not sexual.
She's a mechanic who's outdoorsy and active. Of course she'd be having giant boobs coming out.
We just put too much heart and soul into her development, and that probably looked sexual.
Oh, that was, so bad. And then again, the producer is like, if I know you've been asking for a female party member, but you know, the guys will act differently if there's a woman around. Like the tent might be not as messy. And you're like, oh, what?
It's so funny because I've been, just because I'm weird and replay old games, I've been replaying Final Fantasy VI, and I will say, in hindsight, some of the characterization in that game is a little bit sparse due to the limitations of the time. Yeah. But the characters do not act differently because there's a lady around. It's fine. Like, you can have situations where they're alone if you want to show how they're all bro-y and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre to me. And
all I want him to say is just say, I want to make a game that's just a dude game with dudes. Like, enough said. I don't stop trying to justify it in your weird, insanely sexist Japanese mind. It's never going to happen.
Yeah. Well, they've alluded to the fact that there will be female guests, so I'm guessing that Paul begrudgingly was changed into Paulette at the last minute. They're like, fuck, oh man.
All my heart and soul has gone to waste.
I know. The artists were working for hours on Paul's dong, and now they have to scrap the whole thing.
Fair and balanced.
I just want to see what they do to make Cindy less sexualized, because they've indicated they're not going to change anything about her appearance at all because the artists work so hard and they don't want to let them down, even though everything else in the game is open to be changed.
Sure. Right. I liked it too, that article, because it was like, okay, so we answered all these questions based on Twitter feedback or polls or whatever. And then it's like, we also took a couple bonus questions from the European reporter and the American reporter. And the European reporter are these like really powerful, heady, mature questions like, this is a sexualized character. Like, we think you should, probably change this or tone her down. This is right. And the American was like, the voice actor thing ain't good.
I thought the Americans were like, this is boring.
No, that's the truth. They're like, this is boring, and the main character sounds like Batman.
I didn't even notice the main character was admittedly dumb, but like, is that really the best complaint they could muster?
I imagine that there's this, American stereotype of like Chicago Bear Mike Ditka caricature eating a hot dog around a donut, stuffing himself full of like his belly sticking out, and be like, oh, I don't know, the main character sounds like Batman.
I'm quite surprised, frankly, that the American question wasn't about better men's rights representation. Just as a counterpoint to the European question.
That's true, yeah.
So yeah, I guess they're going to put out an updated demo in May. Sometime soon, and I'm gonna get that. Is everyone gonna get that?
That was my question. I wonder if that's gonna be open or if they're gonna tie it to some other thing they're putting out.
It would be super hilarious if after like being like, only the people who buy Typo are gonna get this demo, they're like, everyone else can get the better demo.
I mean that makes sense. That makes more business sense to me to have that open.
It does.
And be like, hey, get interested in this game, everybody. But I'm sure they'll tie it to like Tomb Raider or something. Pre-order Tomb Raider and get Final Fantasy 15 Dudo Dance Party 2.0.
Duodecum. Duodenum 4. I hope they don't. I mean, okay, I don't hope they don't do that, but it would be hilarious and like a massive fuck you to people who just bought that game just for a demo. But, It's dumb to buy a game.
You did it to yourself. So.
Well, no, I actually bought it because I wanted to try Typo. It's not that good.
Nope. Did not ever look good either.
I wanted to believe. People say it's good.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe I just have to try it and then it will be good. It has a good opening section.
It has a good cinematic. Yep.
Yep. That chocobo dies and it's really sad. Yeah. Has a dumb name.
He can't heal him. The heals just aren't working.
He tries. He uses Cure 2.
Mm-hmm. Should have brought a Phoenix down.
He probably should have.
Yeah. Idiot. Amateur.
So that's a thing. They also said they're not showing, well, this is jumping to the E3 bit, but they're not showing, or it's not going to be at E3, Final Fantasy 15.
Oh,
just to continue to be ridiculous.
Just to continue to perplex everybody on what the hell is happening at E3 this year.
Well, hopefully they show more of Human Revolution.
Well, I mean, just as a whole, where like Nintendo's saying, oh, we're not going to show anything about the new console or anything about any game that you could possibly want. No Zelda, nothing. It's probably just going to be a really weird Direct. And then that's it.
It's probably going to be 45 minutes of Xenoblade. Let's be real here.
Yeah, that's true. Does Xenoblade have a date in the US yet?
No, it doesn't. They had like a thing on it, and they didn't announce any date. It's out in Japan, but mm-hmm. I'm guessing it'll be their holiday title now.
Yeah, right.
Also, I'm feeling more like, you know how you were saying, like, oh, they might put Zelda on NX? I'm kind of feeling like that now.
Yeah, cross it up. And yep, cross.
I was at first I was like, no, they won't do that again. But now I'm like, because they put out their
Nintendo can't have a system without a dedicated Zelda game on it.
Well, it wasn't so much that.
That's
I
true.
Just
they
I didn't...
cannot do that. You're absolutely right.
I just figured the timeline was such that they would try to pump this thing out before they were getting their next console out. But they just put out a document where they had Zelda listed as like to be determined, and they didn't even put a year on it. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here.
Yeah.
So, yep, probably held it back so they could do the 1080p version
mm-hmm.
for their next console.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Well, I guess that's, I wrote that down here. E3's weirdness happening. Square is like you said, having a press conference, or is going to have a presence, but they're also going to have a press conference.
A lot of interesting companies having press conferences. Bethesda's having their first press conference, which excites me because I am super happy for Fallout 4 happening.
Yeah.
Almost certain.
Yeah. Totally. that would be great.
Yeah. Square Enix, I guess, it seems like they're going to focus, I would assume, pretty heavily on Western titles, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, the ones that totally ruined the company. Yep. Like Sleeping Dogs and Deus Ex Human Revolution. You know, those that totally boned, and Tomb Raider, the ones that totally boned Square Enix up and made them lose all that money in 2013.
Are you being facetious, or?
You remember when they said that. They hung out all those games to dry. They're like, our profits sucked because of these three Western games.
Because they didn't perform to the ludicrous expectations that Square set for them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess I recall that. But didn't Tomb Raider finally meet expectations?
Oh, yeah, and I think Deus Ex did as well.
Yeah.
And Sleeping Dogs might have as well. Like,
well, in the real world, not in Square Fantasyland, true. Those are like the most exciting properties that Square has right now.
Right, right.
At least they're the most critically exciting, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of, so... I don't know. I don't see, like, I guess they have Star Ocean, which they just announced and looks super weird. Have you looked at any of the screenshots of that game?
No.
It looks pretty ugly. I'll just throw it out there.
Okay.
I just don't see them having anything Eastern to bring, really.
Yeah.
Especially since they were like, we're not showing 15. I don't think Kingdom Hearts is going to be in any condition to have anything.
Dragon shown. Quest, herp derp, derp derp.
They're not going to announce Dragon Quest 11 there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the appropriate venue for that, because, you know, the U.S. does not care about it. I mean, you know, Dragon Quest 9 did fine, but they don't really care.
Nope. I mean, it's Dragon Quest 11 is like an MMO, isn't it?
Dragon Quest 10 is an MMO. Oh, Dragon Quest 11 is not. Well, there have been some comments from the series creator. He basically was like, yeah, fuck MMOs. Uh-oh. Fuck handhelds. I'm going to put this on PS4. Huh. More
nobody's
or less.
He's going to play it.
Yeah. No, it's Dragon Quest. It'll sell.
It'll People sell in Japan. Buy. You're right. Yeah.
The PS4 sales will spike to like a million for a week. And then they'll go back down to like 2,000.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Western for them. That PC conference, though, that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been celebrity you think's going to host it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Jay Moore. Dust him off. Bring him out. It's been a while since he's done some work.
Didn't he host... didn't he do a video game thing once?
He's been the host of BlizzCon, I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yep.
Does he play games?
I don't know, but he like... I just remember watching a BlizzCon one year where he was the host, and then he like did a bit... like some stand-up, and it's just like making fun of gamers. You're like, this is probably not the time and place to be talking about fat nerds and sitting on couches and whatnot, Jay Moore.
Yeah, but... I was gonna say, is there a YouTube video of him getting booed at while he makes these jokes?
Yeah,
I feel like there might be. Yeah, it's gonna be someone terrible.
Yeah, it'll be super weird. I don't know. It'll be super weird, but it'll also be super great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Mr. Is Mr. Caffeine returns.
Yeah. E3 is at its best when there are gaffes galore.
Oh, God, yeah. God, I miss Tammy Dunaway so much.
She was so... No, I don't want Tammy Dunaway. She was bad in the worst ways.
Yeah. No, I miss her giant white suits. They were so... She was just such a character.
No, she wasn't. She had no personality.
She was Wii Fit Lady.
She was the most characterless woman of all time.
Yeah, that made for some good stuff.
I seriously just wonder, like, what are they going to bring to this PC presentation? I guess probably The Witcher, but like, yeah. Is it just going to be a place for smaller studios to show their stuff? Hopefully. Who's funding it?
Yeah.
So many questions.
Yeah, Russia.
I think PC, the company, is going to pay for it.
Okay. Okay.
Very strange turn of events, but yeah, at the very least, it makes the prospect of what was going to be a really dull E3 a little bit more exciting, because I'm sure there's a lot of potential for dumb.
Oh yeah,
what I like.
Yeah, it's swelling with the potential for stupidity this year.
Oh, it is swelling, all right.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I don't see a lot of surprises, and I'm not seeing a crowded holiday.
I don't see a lot of anything, which is why I'm so interested. Because yeah, what is going to be shown? Nothing.
Nothing for 2015. I don't think.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing. Really...
I just am so flabbergasted when people, when pundits and video game folks out there are saying like, "Oh man, Fallout 4 for this year, right?" And you're like,
"No.
When was the last time a video game was announced at E3 and released that same year?"
I can't think of a time. I mean, right. Very occasionally Nintendo's done it. They've done it before.
Yeah.
Wasn't Super Mario 3D World announced at E3 and released in December?
That could be. Yeah.
I think it was. But yeah, I don't see much happening on that front. And I will say, I guess Skyrim only took what, like 10 months from its reveal to be released, I think, something
no
like that.
No way. Really? I remember seeing a ton of it.
Skyrim was actually quick. I was expecting it to take years, but Skyrim was revealed at the Game Awards or whatever the hell it was called that year.
Uh-huh.
VGX, VGQ.
Uh-huh. That's my favorite one.
And then I think it came out the next holiday season.
Hmm.
So like a 10-month turnaround, something like that. It wasn't bad.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to do that with Fallout, but we'll see. Maybe
all I remember is that they're like, the crowd's like, "Kill that deer! Kill that deer!" Kills that, and he kills the deer, and it was like, "Wah! Losing my mind!"
And then one of the Bethesda people was like, "You can kill that deer if you want to. You see that deer over there? You can kill it."
I can't. Game of the year.
Yep. Yeah, not a lot to be super excited for, I don't think, but hopefully I'll be wrong.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm excited because I don't know what is going to happen, and something has to happen. So,
yep.
I'm yeah.
What's that guy's name? Yves Guillemot will probably show a dumb game.
Mm, no doubt. Yeah,
he'll come out like Pat.
Ubisoft press Tyler conference. Yep. Yeah,
give her a little salty kiss.
Ugh, yeah. Oh man. Yep. Aisha Tyler will make some being a giant tall black woman jokes.
You don't like her, right? You're not a fan of her.
I'm not like smitten with her like most people are. I don't really have feeling one way or the other. I prefer my Ubisoft host to be crazy.
I think she's a good balance. I think she's a good balance between like unintentionally dumb things and like actually like relatable and decent.
Yeah. I feel like though it's time to move on with her because she's her thing is like, I say something rather inflammatory and that becomes the meme that's attributed to me. Hashtag Girlwood.
Yeah, they'll say Girlwood will never die.
Right. So I think that like she's just coming out spitballing for anything to trend again.
I just like her because I don't know. She's that person who like strikes a good balance of not taking it too seriously, but
sure.
Also not being a total dick. And that's right. Just a very rare,
right?
Very rare turn thing to have on the stage.
Yeah, having a semi-famous comedian come on stage and not insult video game players is nice.
It is truly a rare turn of events. So, what else have we got for the news land here? How about that Disney Infinity 3.0? That's coming out this year, right?
I don't even know why I put that on there.
Now there's Star Wars.
I had a moment where I don't know if I dreamt this or something, but like the Lego version and Disney both combined in my mind, and then it was Simpsons Infinity, and then I woke up in a cold sweat.
Your bed was sticky for some reason, and you changed the sheets in shame.
I couldn't change the sheets. They were stuck to the bed, and then I woke up again.
And then your mom walked in. No!
And then all my teeth fell out, and I'm at school naked.
Happens every time.
Yep. So, I don't know. Star Wars is in Disney Infinity 3.0.
let's just like feel better about this by thinking about that Star Wars trailer and how good it was.
Yeah, that was
a good Star Wars trailer.
It was. You see our last episode for the audio version of it.
I put it in at the end.
I told you that, right?
I think you mentioned it.
Yeah.
I don't recall.
So,
speaking of Star Wars, Battlefront is going to be. Sounds like it's going to be more like a third-person shooter, which makes me happy, because I really thought it was just going to be Battlefield 4, the Star Wars one.
Sure.
So, they're not doing Iron Sights, which I'm pleased about. But,
yeah, whatever. I mean, it's, you know, it'll just be like old Halo, right? Where you can't aim down sights.
Could be. I don't know. I don't know if DICE will lean more into first-person or third-person, because you really can't do both.
as Bethesda knows... You really can't do both.
Yeah, see every Bethesda game ever released to see why you can't do both.
Oh, man. Those crazy people that play it in third person. I understand that.
What about the people who play Mirror's Edge in third person? That's just hilarious.
That's a spider lady or an octopus woman.
Speaking of octopus women. Oh, you see what I'm about to do there?
Uh-uh, I don't.
Splatoon.
Splatoon. Okay, cool. Yeah, that wasn't on the
you
list.
You want to talk about games we played?
Yeah, of course. Wait, actually, no, I don't. I don't want to talk about games we played.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Nope. Wait, well, we're going to end the podcast here. Next 3 weeks, we'll talk about the games we played.
Oh, okay, actually, that sounds good.
No, I do want to take a break so I can get some new coffee.
Okay, all right. We'll be right back.
Break. And we're back.
We're back!
Subscribe to get bonus content that you missed during the break. Griff eating a donut.
105.
Yeah, I did. I did Coach Z as a drive time morning DJ.
Coach Z.
Yeah.
He's Jorb, right?
Yeah. Did a great Jorb.
Yep. Taking it back to the early 2000s.
Dear
the 20 aughts.
How do you type with boxing gloves?
They're making new ones of those. There was an April Fool's one.
Yeah, that was so good.
It was good. So how good. Is it still? It's like timelessly funny.
Yeah, it is.
And that's always going to be good.
It's freaking hilarious. High school yearbook, my quote contribution was, you're a girl or maybe a wagon filled up with pancakes. So that will live on in some people's lives.
A day that will live in infamy. Oh,
speaking
man.
Of a day of infamy, before we talk about video games, I wanted to talk a little bit about movies.
What?
Yeah, actually, maybe I won't, since, you know, they suck.
You can tell me about a movie.
No, movies suck. Movies are the worst. They're super dumb and boring.
Which movies are the worst? See what I did there? I'm trying to elicit more from you.
Okay, let me give you a list here. Star Wars Episode 1.
Yep.
Star Wars Episode 2.
Yep.
Star Wars Episode 3.
So you watched them all, huh?
Nope, but I started watching... I want to watch all Star Wars movies before the new one comes out, which, to a normal person, is like, that's a lot of time. But to me, I hate watching movies. So that 8-month stretch, I don't know. It's going to be tight, actually.
Have you made it through the first one yet?
No, I have not. I keep falling asleep.
Can you just do what I'd... sane human being would do and just pretend that episodes 1 through 3 don't exist? I'm pretty sure that's what J.J. Abrams is going to do.
No, he's not, because he specifically said in that desert, I want to put the corpse of Jar Jar Binks.
See, that's funny, though, because he wants to show how dead it is.
Oh, yeah. But,
Maybe he actually wants to do it for an important lore reason.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to, that'll be the digital special deluxe edition of Star Wars, not 7, The Force Awakens, because they took the numbers off of it.
What if he puts the corpse of Jar Jar Binks and next to him are his grieving 200% more annoying children?
That's actually going to be Star Wars 8, is the corpse of Jar Jar Binks. yeah, so I tried to watch that movie. That movie sucks. Sucks yep. a lot.
Don't listen to anyone that says the third movie of that trilogy is good, because it's not.
I would say it's not the worst, but...
It's not the worst.
No.
Nope. That's it. That's we're not saying
that's
anything
pretty
beyond
much
that.
It.
Not the worst.
I think it is a hilarious movie, if anything. Like, the moment when his little leg stumps combust on that planet, I was howling.
I just love the ham-fisted dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When they're like, when Ewan McGregor is like, Anakin, the Jedi, or the Sith are evil. And then Anakin goes, from my point of view, the Jedi are evil.
Yeah. That was better delivery than it was in the movie. That was so terrible. There were so many funny scenes, though. I mean, when Samuel L. Jackson gets murdered, that was hilarious.
The old Emperor Palpatine looks like he's having a really exciting poop.
The Darth Vader no is just like, oh my god. All these moments of like intense gravitas are just shattered by how shitty the direction was for them.
I'm really glad that the Darth Vader no was just, it was so good you couldn't not use it in the original trilogy.
Uh-huh. Yep. Could not use it. anyway, so that's behind us and still in front of me because I committed to doing it. God, I can't
I still gotta watch, speaking of seventh entries of movies, I still gotta watch that Fast and Furious sequel for yeah. maximal comedy.
Yeah, I have to watch it as well. That'll be an on DVD thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need to own that. I just want to go to a theater and see big cars crash into each other and explode.
Yeah. I this might be a situation where my love for the franchise is thwarted by them making the sequel to one of my favorite movies ever, Tokyo Drift. So now that is no longer the last movie in the series, I my interest might be waning.
I see.
Yeah. Since they're starting to make the movies make sense again chronologically, I don't know not if okay I'm in anymore.
You're only okay with Fast and Furious when it exists in a space beyond time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Phantom Zone.
I think it's hilarious that they felt the need to like tie up all those loose ends in the plot. Like we need to make sure that by the end of the sixth movie, we know exactly where we are.
So they've already started production on 8. So the name, right? Where are we going in that direction? Is it going to be Fast 8 and then they tilt it to the side so it looks like wheels?
Infinitely Fast and Infinitely Furious.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
is that guy the Justin Lin, is he back for 8?
Who's the
director who makes the good ones?
Oh, I have no idea, dude. I don't know. I just assume that those movies happened. You put all those actors in one area and it just like coalesces into that film. There's no actual direction or film crew. It just like,
I think it's actually just an extended D&D campaign that Vin Diesel is playing. And then this one car crashes into the other car, and I jump out of it, and then it explodes, and then I got in a fist fight with a really big guy, but I beat him.
That's right.
Et cetera, et cetera. You just don't see the dice rolls happening on screen.
No, yeah, it would really take away from the magic.
Yeah. You know he used to be a player, right? Or he may well still be.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, so. I do. He also has his hand in, was it Starbreeze? No. What's a video game company that I always forget? It's Triptych? Triptych Games?
Triptych. The one that made Butcher Band stuff, I assume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Starbreeze? Yeah. I don't know.
He's a strange dude.
He is a sweet dude.
Sweet and strange.
Uh-huh.
Sweet and sour.
My favorite flavor. All right. Well, I just wanted, I don't know. There's probably no point in talking about. I saw movies for once in a long time and not in theater, though. Like, I watched that Prometheus movie. It was weird.
Oh, you watched that one, huh? That's yeah. the one you chose to watch after a long hiatus.
Uh huh. Yep. I also watched Big Hero 6.
That's supposed to be good.
It's all right.
Yeah, that's how I. That's my concern about every DreamWorks movie. They always do that thing where they make it dumb.
It's like cute and charming and nice and fluffy and has some good comedy in it, but there's like nothing. Like it also feels very sterile.
It's not elevated. Like, are you a WALL-E fan? Do you like WALL-E?
Oh hell yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's no WALL-E.
It's no WALL-E.
My problem is I have this like serious fatigue with CG movies. Like I'm just kind of like if they're not truly superlative, I don't want to even be involved. Mm. I've gotten so tired of all the tropes that pervade every single one of them that I just like I can't.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Like okay. They just have become too rote for me.
Yeah, I gotcha. I gotcha. I mean this. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think Big Hero 6 might actually be Disney, not DreamWorks. I was wrong about that.
That would make sense because they have the Baymax character as part of Disney Infinity.
Disney Infinity. He looks pretty cool in his little red suit. If I were forced to buy one Disney Infinity figure, I'd probably buy that one.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. It's a good looking little toy.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. I don't know. Not great. Okay. Good, not great.
Maybe I'll watch it on Netflix someday.
Sure. Go for it. I watched it for free, I think. No, I don't know. We rented it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting to go back to the theater for a CG movie until Pixar starts making good movies again.
Oh, sick burn!
It's the truth. They're bad now. What are they doing?
I don't know.
Stop it!
All movies are bad now. Don't ever see movies.
Okay,
The
last movie I saw in theaters was Guardians of the Galaxy.
that was
like a year ago.
That might be the same for me, actually.
It's a hell of a movie, though.
Yeah, it was great. I want to see the Marvel Ultron one, but also don't, because then I have to go to a movie theater.
I don't, because I don't want... Here's what I really don't want, if we're going to get on this movie tangent. I don't want the Guardians of the Galaxy sequel to tie in at all with the MCU. I want that to be off on its own. I don't want it to be tainted by comic book bullshit.
Okay.
Seriously, like I like comic books, and I don't want it to be involved with that. The last thing I want in that universe is like Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. Like, please, no, don't do that to me.
In Guardians of the Galaxy, you don't want that peanut butter and chocolate
situation.
No,
they should not cross over at all. They should be completely distinct.
I mean, eventually, you just won't have a budget for these films, right? With all these actors,
I don't know. Samuel Jackson, he had a 9-film deal with Marvel, which is crazy.
Uh-huh.
Dude just signed a contract for 9 movies. That's like 12 years of his life.
That man acts. I mean,
he
that he is no stranger to signing extremely crazy deals about movies.
This is true.
The man who stated, I want to be in as many movies as possible before I die.
Yeah. 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 He's certainly living up to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I understand that. To me, Guardians of the Galaxy is like not a Marvel comic book movie.
Because exactly.
I have no attachment to that franchise in the comic books, and it could exist on its own. I don't even want a sequel. I don't. It was fine.
No, I don't either. Yeah. It was such a great, like, I just loved the world building they did. I thought it was really cool. I found the setting somewhat believable. I think the moment that they're like, hey, here's Earth, and here's all the superheroes on Earth that are going to meet the Guardians, I'm going to be like, God fucking damn it, I hate you.
Yeah.
Also, my cat is dangerously close to my keyboard, so I might get bitten while I try to get him removed. He's really feisty right now.
Oh, well, turn on your PlayStation 4 and distract him.
Yeah, making him angrier so I can get him out of here.
Okay, great. Yeah, spray him, spritz him, squirt.
While I'm doing this, you feel free to talk about a video game or something.
Okay, well, yeah, since the movie talk has gotten really depressing and angry, let's talk about video games that are depressing, angry, and upsetting. We've been playing Bloodborne.
Yes, we have been playing Bloodborne. I think we're roughly in the same spot in Bloodborne, unless you got farther last night.
No, I just ground out some souls so I could use the wheel.
Oh, yeah, you got the wheel.
Take the wheel for a ride.
The wheel of destiny.
Yeah.
That wheel is pretty cool.
I just swung it around. I haven't used it yet, but...
Yeah, it's like, seemingly pretty dumb. Like, it has bad range. I don't really understand it, but it's also really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a wheel.
It's a wheel.
I wish I could understand I wish I could break away from the greatsword at this point, because I love the greatsword and it's really powerful,
uh-huh.
but I feel like I'm missing out.
I have that same feeling, but towards magic. Like, I discovered I have all these items now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? What kind of reagent is this, like, demon fist or something? And I'm like, it's great out and I can't use it. And then I looked it up and I'm like, wait, that's the magic? It uses bullets and I have to have enough arcane to do, like, a phantom fist?
I've used the quick step one a few times because I got up to 15 arcane. Mm. But I have not gotten high enough for anything else yet. I want to get the tentacle arms, man.
Yes. Yes.
I've had that used against me a number of times.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And I want to I don't know what it means to partially summon people. Is that one of the phantoms?
Oh, or one that's of the... That's the tentacle arms.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Assuming
okay.
like you're summoning this creature into this plane of existence and gotcha. it's the tentacle arms that are summoned.
Here's a question. Should we speak about the thematic shift in that game or should we leave that unspoiled? In kind of broad strokes.
Sure. I mean, I don't know. If you, listener, have made it into this hour 16 minute of us talking about bullshit, be warned. We're going to talk about some Bloodborne stuff.
But not in super great detail.
You were dead the whole time.
Rosebud.
No!
It's a sleigh, damn it. No, it's taken a turn. It's not werewolves anymore.
That's true. It is not werewolves anymore.
I never really felt like it was all werewolves.
It was all werewolves for
I was okay
quite
with the amount
time.
Of werewolves. No, it was like 30% werewolves.
Everybody was a werewolf, actually.
They made it look like it was werewolves, though. Like, they were like, hey, it was werewolves. Like, then there's other guys, too, but there's werewolves. Like, it wasn't... Okay. There were some werewolves.
There was a lot of werewolves.
But there was the Shadow of Yharnam. There was the three guys.
Yeah, that you're absolutely right. That was one boss that was not werewolves. There was also the Witch of Henwick that was not a werewolf.
The Backstreet Boys, he wasn't a werewolf. I stand by that.
He was not. You're absolutely right. So was Teen Wolf. He was not a werewolf. He was a teen wolf. There is an obvious difference there.
He did not look like a werewolf to me. He looked like a beast.
A beastly
beast. Starved for blood.
oh, okay. I see what you're going with that. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a werewolf. That was a werewolf. 100%. I'm not. I'm actually just a collection of legs.
So, yeah, not werewolves anymore. Yeah. Big guys.
Yeah. Big old big bosses.
Yeah. Big guys, I feel, are generally exploitable, but not always.
Yeah,
yeah. We're both in about the same place in the game. We fought a bunch of bosses that are just really, seemingly really cheesable.
Yep.
Artistically, they're really cool.
Yep.
But very cheesable. And yeah, I guess we'll say that the shift has been from werewolves to a more kind of Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm. Type. Very much so, yeah.
Environment. It's very cool. I'm still loving the art direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just some really creepy, awesome imagery, like a spider with a human face crawling around looking all awful.
Yeah, that thing. Ugh. Ugh.
He didn't even see. He was rambling in his incoherent tongues, and then I was wandering around in the one place, and he pushed me into the poison water, and he didn't do that to you.
No.
It was awful. And then all those things in the poison water. Oh, God, those were disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Those just like, it was like placentas in there. It was so, so gross. That was a dumb area. That was one of the worst things in the game so far.
It, like, worst as in, like, you actively felt it was bad design, or worst as in, like, just a hard area to get through?
It was a lazy design and also vastly uninteresting.
Hmm.
Like, anytime you're discouraged from exploring in an environment, I get very frustrated.
Hmm. See, for me, I didn't really view it that way. I didn't see the slow poison as that much of a obstacle. Like, it could overwhelm you if the frenzy dude also got you at the same time.
Ugh.
Because those things are the worst. Frenzy is awful. I hate frenzy.
Yep.
Even though I think it might not be the worst like idea from a gameplay perspective to force people to deal with that, I hate it. It is such a stressful thing to deal with. Because if people haven't played the game before, the way frenzy works is like you get hit and you have this meter which builds up over time and it keeps building up after you get hit. And when it maxes out, you just take a huge amount of damage.
Right. So it kind of in the same way that like a poison would work, where it's like a slow damage over time. Instead, this is kind of like a countdown clock to when you're just going to explode.
Yeah. But and the thing about it is, unlike poison, where like if you get out of the water, like the poison water, mm-hmm. or you get away from the attack, you mm-hmm. won't build up anymore. This just keeps building up after you get hit. Like you have to understand.
That's not true. No.
When the guys with the giant burning crosses hit you, it does. And when the screaming dude hits you, it does.
Okay. Yes.
Not in the place that we're at with the needles. I'm talking about other places. So like way it works is like you get hit and you don't know, unless you're paying attention, you don't realize how much your bar is going to fill up until like 5 seconds later. So that's what makes it so menacing for me. Like you think you're fine, and then you're like, "Oh shit! Actually, I'm not fine, mm-hmm. and I'm about to take 75% of my health." Mm-hmm. And a guy just hit me. Oh fuck! I'm dead.
Yeah. That's. I think that is a frustrating area to be in. Fortunately, it's totally optional.
Yes. I also like how the moment you walk in, it's like, "Hey, you didn't think you're gonna have to deal with invaders because of the way they changed the system?" No, you do actually.
I actually had absolutely no problem with that. There were people jumping in my game, and I would just murder them immediately because they are terrible.
Yep, they are.
Like,
I'm like, how did you even get this far?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god. I didn't know I'm not great at game, but this guy is terrible.
I didn't know you could play this game without parrying.
Right.
Oh my god, my cat is so angry. Mm. He's lying. This is how he's angry. He's lying on my lap and he's like, "Don't you fucking touch me."
This is my lap.
I will kill you.
My lap, human.
Oh my gosh.
So Bloodborne still remaining, still maintaining its greatness. Excuse me. And still chugging away at it. I talked to a guy who I work with who started playing maybe 2 months after I did. And he kind of gave up on it. And then I talked to him today, 3 months later from the release or whatever. And he's like, "Yep, I just killed Longarius." I'm like, "Holy crap. You just made a great time." And then he also told me that of the next boss and how he knows that is like the end, not the end boss, but like you're hitting end game at that point. So I was like, "Oh, okay, interesting little tidbit there. So we are approaching the climax."
Oh, we're getting close.
Uh-huh.
I think we have quite a few bosses to go, but maybe not as many as I think.
How many?
My cat is just biting my arm. I think we have at least like 5.
He did not make it sound that way.
I don't know. I've just seen a couple of names. My cat is literally just biting my elbow.
Keep in mind, there are bosses that are unique to the Chalice Dungeons that don't exist in the main campaign.
Okay.
Like, I've went through one, and I fought a boss that I've never seen before, and it was like this gigantic ogre with, like, blades grafted into its arms and, like, pustules that were oozing, and it was super easy, and you just attack the pustules and they'd pop, and then you'd visceral them, and he was super slow, but he would almost kill me in one hit.
That sounds cool.
Just at the end of the first Chalice Dungeon.
I understand that you fight the Aberrant Beast, which you actually didn't get to fight because you didn't see this guy. It's the guy who is the NPC you can't trust.
Oh, sure, yeah. I killed him.
Yeah. Oh, you fought him?
No, I sent him to the hospital and then killed him with his blue thing.
Oh, you did the smart thing.
Yeah.
I did the dumb thing and I tried to fight him and he's super hard. Apparently he's one of the bosses in Chalice Dungeons, so I'm not looking forward to that.
Everything gets recycled into the Chalice Dungeons. Like I was listening to a podcast and they're saying that you fight Rom in the Chalice Dungeons.
By the way, I did a couple of I supported a few players with Rom. Uh-huh. I still don't think he's super bad, but I did see that his attacks are really strong, especially in multiplayer they can pretty much almost one-shot you. Like, the ice attacks can almost one-shot you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you get caught in them, that's absolutely true.
But what was happening is, most of the time is I would be playing and just hanging back, and the other player would just get killed immediately. Just, like, run in and get killed by spiders. And I was like, that was a fun 30 seconds.
I have not done any of that yet of supporting other people. I think it'd be interesting to go check out some of those earlier bosses and see how it is. Yeah. But then I'm also terrified... because I had to fight Rom. I fought Rom twice because I'm an idiot.
Well, I think you have to be within like 10% of the other character's level in order to actually do it. So
interesting.
It might be challenging to do so.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Logarius, you mentioned him. What did you think of that fight? Did you like it?
Do you like it?
Do you like it?
I did. I like it because I like fighting, you know, humanoid enemies. And he was definitely a different take on the typical like, humanoid fight. But yeah, like the attacks that he did were pretty well telegraphed and pretty obvious. Like the fact that you could use the level to kind of, you know, dodge and block out of the way. But then I really struggled because when he would go into his second phase, I felt like I had no escape and I was just getting like pummeled.
But once you understand it, like he's kind of the perfect Souls boss, because once you understand his patterns, like he's almost trivialized. Like you're like, oh, now I know what to do.
Yeah.
He could still kill me in two hits, but I can kill him just as easily.
Yeah. My success hinged upon when he entered his second phase. I got a fully charged back attack on him and then visceraled him, which then prevented him from using his sword to like do the AoE attack. So all he was doing was swiping and swooping at me, which I would just dodge and then counter, and then I was just like visceral after visceral after visceral.
Yeah. It's almost an invitation to visceral him during that phase. Like it's like, oh, why don't you stab me in the back because I'm going crazy, or I'm charging my attack. Perfect time to stab me.
Yep.
And it's kind of easy to forget that, I feel like, because like conventional Souls wisdom would be like, back away, he's gonna AoE you.
Yeah And he's then the bosses that you and I had been fighting up to this point, you know, they are the large size bosses that are not counterable, and you know, it's like managing your distance and stuff like that. It's kind of that return to form of Dark Souls, and then you get back here and it's like, nope, just go in there, balls out, shoot him in the face and stab him.
Well, the funny thing is, for all those bosses that you're mentioning, I literally just went under them or like to the left of them. And it was so easy to just hit them repeatedly.
Yeah.
Even though they were really cool artistically, they're, like I said, they're quite cheesable just because of that.
Yeah. But, they were not. Yeah. Also, don't ever read the notes in that game because they're just the worst. I have never found a useful note at this point in the game.
Oh, I've found some good ones.
I actually just don't even play online anymore because then I can suspend it.
Oh yeah,
because with that feature,
with better load times, it's not so bad.
No, there's no reason to play online because I'm not inviting people into my game. I don't read the notes because they're all garbage.
What about the woman ringing a sinister bell?
That's I think that happens anyway, right?
Message. Sure. You might get NPC invaders. I'm not sure.
I've had NPC invaders, and it's I don't care.
Okay. I've been continuing online. I like the notes. I feel like it's part of the game for me. The way I've always played these games is, like, enjoy the notes, don't really have a lot of interaction with other players, but the rare times that I do, it's kind of cool. Mm. But, like, mostly it's just, like, solo journey with the notes.
So. Yeah.
But, yeah, I can understand kind of being fed up with them, because they are sometimes super trolly.
Well, yeah, like the one of the larger boss fights, the note outside the boss fight was like, it was like, use rolling and attack its rear, and this boss is like 80% immune to all attacks on its back legs, and I was like, oh cool, great, excellent. So that's why I texted you, and I'm like, I couldn't even damage this guy, this is ridiculous. Yeah. And then
you
like,
gotta try the arms, bro.
Yeah, try something else besides what the note said.
I gotta say, after dealing with those assholes for like two areas, it was so satisfying to kill that thing, even though it was like clearly a very neutered version of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's still one area that I haven't gone to over there with in regards to those things, because they're so frustrating.
Oh yeah, those guys. I feel like there's an area I haven't fully explored in that region. Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to it and check it out. There was like a locked door and I couldn't figure out how to open it, and I've now moved on.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, there must be something I can do there, but I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
So
For me, it's a lot simpler. There's just a pathway, and I was like, I went down it and got destroyed by like a billion trap monsters and bell ringing women. I'm like, okay, nope, not gonna do this, I guess.
Yeah, that area was brutal. Respawning is something that I could never get used to in Dark Souls or in a Souls game. It's like, oh my god, I can't deal with these enemies more than once.
You know what? I'll give you my solution for that area. That was when I stopped fighting. That was when I'm like, I am going to just run through this game. I'm going to run through this area. I'm not going to engage in any combat. I'm just going to hoof it until I get the next lantern. And I was just like, this is, again, probably not the greatest game design here.
Well, I actually, you know, I felt it was workable. Like, I did run for certain parts, but then I would engage in a safer area and, like, quickly kill the respawn lady.
Oh, yeah. Right. Like, I felt run to her and then kill her. But I still think that that's, like, that's the solution to a bad puzzle is still shitty. Mm.
I guess I never really thought of it as, like, a bad puzzle because I feel like that challenge was intentional. I think that you're right to identify that you can just run past it, which is like something that people do. Some people think that's good because you can like low level game or like not engage and just speed run. Some people are like, well, that just trivializes this whole challenge. Like, why would you put that in there? Like, I feel like you could view that either way.
Yeah.
For me, I've always been okay with it, even though like it is a thing that one could complain about, but it's never really irked me. But I could totally see why it would.
Yeah.
Anywho, any other noteworthy Bloodborne developments?
No, that's the only specific things that we can talk about off the air.
Yeah. I really, really don't like that frenzy area. I played it the other day and died a few times and was like, oh, fuck this game.
Yeah, that's going to be one where I just get to running through it.
I guess it could work to run through it if you time your waiting behind stuff really well. Yeah.
Yep. That's what I plan on doing.
Yeah. Okay. So, hey, you listed some other games here.
Nope, namely they the, don't matter. Oh, yeah. Blizzard account authentication app, that thing.
What happened there?
Well, I downloaded Hearthstone, and I was like, I am going to play this on my phone and because I don't have any games on my phone except for Flappy Bird. So
yeah,
I will give this a shot. And I get it, and I'm trying to log in, and it's like, okay, like, you don't know your password. And I'm like, okay, I don't know my password. And then I'm like, okay, I think I got it. I got my password. And then it's like, now use the authentication app. And I'm like, okay, I will remember 5286-7654 for the 30 seconds that it's in existence. And I go type it in, and it's like, oh, nope, no, incorrect. I'm like, wait, is it incorrect password or is it incorrect authentication? I don't know. So I'm sitting there going back and forth, trying to get this thing unlocked. And then it's just like, you've timed out too many tries. And I'm like, okay. Fuck you, I'm done.
Your account has been locked, and the only way to unlock it is to call Blizzard customer support.
Right. My only thought at that point is like, good thing I won't be playing any other Blizzard games.
Yep. Hate that company now, so yeah. Don't care.
Sorry, StarCraft 2.3.
we don't want Wings of Liberty, not Heart of the Swarm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what the last one's called. Thing of
something. Of the Void.
Yeah, sure.
Party. Curse Party at the Void.
Party in the USA.
Yeah. Pizza Void.
Pizza Void.
Jeff, also, you've actually played some games of note.
Wait, before you stop,
okay.
Just tell me what you do in Mega Man Battle Network 5.
I won't tell you because I will show you. We'll cut a video at some point.
All right, good. Fine. That's all I ask of you.
Yeah. The Mega Man Battle Network games are great. I love them.
Okay,
so tell me about some real video games.
You'll have to tell me which of the many game Battle Network games that came out I should buy. I'll tell you about some real video games. I'm going to skip over the fact that I played a weird Final Fantasy VI mod because nobody cares about that.
Well, I care.
You don't really care. You don't really care.
I do. I actually cared so much I tried to finish Axiom Verge, but then got really bored with it.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
That can happen with those kinds of games. I think I just rode the like kind of hype and excitement and got
sure.
to the end.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Where was I? I played a FF6 mod. It's just a difficulty type thing. Pretty cool. But I'll talk about other stuff now.
Okay.
I played the Splatoon Chest Fire demo for an hour last night.
All right.
It was pretty fun. They had a bunch of weapons, which they announced in the direct. It's not just the Super Soaker that shoots like an arced blob shot now. Mm-hmm. They have like a sniper rifle equivalent, which I cannot wrap my head around. I was trying so hard to use it, and it just seems like it's not very good at coverage and not very good at killing things. So okay. I don't understand it. But I feel like if I were good, like I could use it for amazing things because there were like flashes of brilliance in there. Like I would shoot it. Because you have to charge the shot and then you fire, and I would shoot it like a distant platform, and it would get coverage on the distant platform, like deep in enemy territory. But I was like, I can't understand this. Like it takes me 5 seconds to shoot, and I'm getting killed repeatedly.
That's the thing. Very Team Fortress sniper charging your sniper rifle.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure they, you know, they wear their influences on their sleeves. But the thing I really loved was the roller.
Mm.
The roller is the coolest weapon ever. First of all, it's really easy to get coverage with the roller. Second of all, if you run into anyone while you're using it, you just kill them.
Yeah.
Just like you don't even have to press a button. They're just dead.
Nice.
This is probably like you know, TPS 101. But for me, I was having a great time. And it also has an interesting attack, which I guess you can hold it up in the air and swing it. Like,
Shake.
The way it works is you start out holding it in the air, and when you hit the weapon button, you like swing it down and start rolling on the ground. But when you swing it, you throw ink at your enemies. So you can apparently use this to deflect projectiles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like a really interesting, fun, all-around weapon. And I was pretty much heavily favoring that for the hour that I was playing.
Is it the trickiest weapon up there? It's the most similar to a trick weapon.
It's the trick weapon. It's really fun, though.
It does. I'm not laughing at you. I watched the direct, and that's the vibe I got, too. The roller looks super fun.
Yeah, I feel like the roller might be too good, but maybe not. Maybe it's good if you're a noob.
It also seems like the dying is trivialized. Like, everybody is very soft. Everybody is dying all the time. Is that accurate?
Yeah, yeah, it's like a two-hit kill. Like, if you... Well, okay, maybe three. Like, three, like... You know, like, you fire out of your regular gun. Like, it's like a rapid-fire gun. Uh-huh. Shoots, like 8 shots a second or something. Maybe like six or so. Like, three of those hits will kill you.
Huh.
So it's really easy to die. I mean, you can be stealthy and like dive back into your ink and run away, but like once you're trapped, you're probably screwed.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes it really easy to hop back into the action too, because you can just tap one of the other players, and like if they're like, it's actually makes a really interesting strategy, because like if one guy pushes ahead really deep into enemy territory and you've just died, you can hop over to him to support him immediately. So like suddenly you've gone from like, let's say the enemy has like, you know, 80% of the map covered.
Mm-hmm.
And they're way on the other side, like just pushing forward and killing everyone. You can send two guys deep into enemy territory and start covering their stuff really fast.
Yeah.
And the tide turns so quickly because of the way that the coverage mechanic works. Like, when you get to that last minute, like, it's just crazy. Like, for me, by the end, at the last minute, I would look at the map, I'd be like, oh, shit, we're losing. And then, like, 20 seconds later, like, we have almost all the map covered. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, it's not quite that dramatic, but the tide can turn really quickly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's not the kind of game where, like, the enemy gets an early commanding lead and kills, and then, like, oh, you've lost now.
Uh-huh.
Like, even in the last 30 seconds, you can mount a comeback if you're good.
Sure, because unlike other, you know, shooting games, it's not about the amount of kills you're getting, it's about the coverage of the map.
Exactly.
Which I really, really appreciate, because
yeah.
As a person who's not great at those games, like, I can still be a benefit to a team by just shooting the ground a bunch. Instead of shooting other people.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't want to fight, you can go to an area where there aren't any people, but you need to get coverage there. And you can just hang out there and get like cover stuff up. And if someone comes in, try to kill them. And the cool thing is, like, you'll be covering stuff up. And while you do that, you're charging up your super.
Uh-huh.
So like you can be charging your super. And then like by the time somebody makes it over to you, you just use your super to kill them.
Huh.
And it's cool. Like, it seems like there will definitely be a fun, like, metagame that will emerge, like,
sure.
Around different roles and stuff like that. And, you know, I had a good time with it. And, you know, you kind of made the good point, like, do you really want, like, a competitive TPS? Like, is that something you really want in your life? I mean, maybe, maybe not. But it was fun. You know, I really enjoyed the hour I spent with it. And, you know, the single player hopefully will be good, maybe. I don't know.
I am a million times more interested in it than I ever was after watching that direct. And
for sure.
That you had a good time playing it. Like, I will definitely be playing it when it comes out. It's just a question of, like, will it sway me enough that I want to be playing this, like, how
exactly.
We play Mario Kart to, like, for
exactly,
fun or something.
Yeah.
Does this have the legs?
That's the question, because, like it's not... It doesn't seem like the ability to, like, play together is quite as robust.
Mm.
But they've also promised a lot of updates for free,
yeah.
Like, over the whole summer. So it's not clear where that's going to be. And I will say, also, the netcode, totally solid.
Okay.
I didn't have any issues at all. Occasionally, I'd be searching for a match, and it would erroneously put me in a match in a room that was already full and boot me back out. But it happened, like, 3 times, and it was, like, maybe 20 seconds lost at most.
Oh, okay.
Like, nothing bad.
Nice.
And everything ran smoothly, except at the very end when they were shutting the servers off. I was using my roller, and this is, I think, how lag is going to work. It's going to be awful. when you try to use ink, it doesn't stick to the ground. So you'll be pressing forward, right? And you'll be going into enemy territory, but the game will treat you like you're on enemy ink and slow you way down. It's really bad. So I hope they address that. I hope that the lag isn't an issue. And I only saw it at the very end when they were shutting the server down. So we'll see if it comes up again, but that could be troubling.
Yikes. They also really messed up in making the Inklings the amiibo. They should have done the store owners.
Yes,
the shop owners are so Nintendo designed. It's
yes, they are.
They're so charming.
They're adorable.
Yeah,
love the one with the anemone head.
Yep. Yeah,
it's a winner.
Yes, and their names. Their names are so good too.
What about the Squid Sister?
Squid Sisters are just so crazy. Like, let's stop this amiibo for this Hatsune Miku moment.
Or I love, by the way, when they even have in the corner, like, when you tap the amiibo, it's inside its packaging. It's mint.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. It's meant to not come out.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. But yeah, I'm pretty excited for that title to be good.
Yeah.
And maybe pick it up a little bit down the line, like, if it looks good, and maybe it's a little bit reduced, might even think about it.
Yeah.
I also, one other little thing I threw on here. I played a little bit of Broken Age, but not really enough to really talk about. Mm. It actually kind of more instantly hooked me with its adventure gaminess than... Oh, I heard a funny sound there.
Oh, it was a ding-dong doorknob.
Okay.
Ditch.
It more instantly hooked me with its like adventure gaminess than the previous game. Like, it was more instantly funny. You know, obviously it's right in the middle of a story, so it can just kind of start playing jokes. But I encountered a puzzle that I could not wrap my head around at all, and there were no hints, and I was annoyed. We'll see. I think I'll have more to say about it as I get farther. Uh-huh. One thing I do like is that I happen to have a touchscreen laptop. And I can play on the touchscreen, and it actually works really nicely. Yeah,
interesting.
It's pretty cool.
Nice.
I might have to
download it too. But I think that I played it on PC to begin with, and now my PC is not working, so I'd have to play it on Mac, which means I would have to replay the beginning of that game, which I don't know if I want to do.
Actually, I played it on a different PC than the one that I originally played it on, and I think it supports cloud saving, so you might. I don't know if cloud saving is cross-platform.
I don't think it is.
Ooh, that sucks.
We'll find out. I'll do that. For science, I'll do this.
Yeah. After playing a lot of Bloodborne, kind of with its dark and depressing settings, it actually did kind of feel like a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. I still am not crazy about that game, and I think a lot of people feel the same way, but
yeah,
I'm going to see it through. You know, I'll give it the 3 hours it probably needs to be completely finished.
Sure.
So, yeah. That pretty much covers what I've played.
Well, hopefully some games come out soon so we can talk about things. The Witcher coming down the pipeline, Splatoon.
Not buying that.
Those are, Splatoon. I think, the May games, right? Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Arkham is coming out in Jolun.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm getting like more and more aggressively uninterested in.
Exactly. They've done an amazing job of deflating any hype I might have had.
Oh, Jesus, I know, yeah.
I don't know how they managed it. Maybe it was the $40 season pass.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel like the whole game is just going to be commoditized. I don't really know.
Right.
Something about it just turned me off.
Dual play, or what is it, like dual mode co-op where it's like not really co-op? I don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, it's dumb.
It's super dumb.
Yep.
Sorry, bad fans.
Yeah. I've really always been kind of tepid. I wish I liked it more, but the combat has always just been a major sticking point for me. It's never really clicked with me.
It definitely works for me. I like it. I just look at that game and I'm like, great, here we go, Assassin's Creed Batman. I'm gonna just play this because I have to, and it's way too long. But
yeah,
at least I'm not bound to Batman like I am Assassin's Creed. Like, I can walk away from Batman. I'm not a crazy person.
I don't know why you can't walk away from Assassin's Creed.
I don't know why either. I've done it once, and then it pulled me back in.
Oh, my God, my cat.
I still feel bad that I haven't beaten that game.
What, Unity?
No, the Templar, or the third 2.3, whatever that one was. The one after Brotherhood.
Oh, Don't feel bad about that.
I do.
Stop it. Stop doing that.
I have to do them all.
When is Assassin's Creed 5 coming out?
Like right now, I think. I think it was it's just launched today.
V for victory.
The game leaked. And I don't mean like what the details were. The actual full game leaked out. And now it's just in store shelves. Ubisoft has gotten so bad at it that they accidentally launched their entire game.
Anyway.
Yep.
Anything else we got covered here?
I think we nailed it.
Pounded through the whole thing.
Yeah.
We did it.
In reverse order this time.
Yeah. We gotta keep them on their toes.
That's right. I mean, we can only talk about Bloodborne every week for so long.
It's all we've been playing.
It's true. It's because there's nothing else out there.
That hour of Splatoon really broke up that monotony.
I played Mortal Kombat X and then I forgot about it.
Hey, you should play another hour of Splatoon today if you're not going to go do hours of baseball.
I'm not. The weekend is clear. When is the playtime?
I think it's 3 to 4 wet Eastern.
Okay.
Yeah.
I probably can't.
It's an awkward time.
I gotta do house stuff. We gotta do repairs. So great radio. Things I'm going to do on the weekend.
Well, I'll fill you in after we're done here about the times see if it's workable for you.
Yes, yes. Yep. And I think that's it, right?
Sweet. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks.
To you, Jeff.
How do you know?
Surprise, it's your baby.
How did you know?
I knew all along.
Is it the webcam?
It's the red moon. The spidery veil.
The red moon.
Now you're pregnant. Boom. Hello. Spot twist.
Put an end to my nightmare of menses.
Oh. Ugh.
I learned that menses is a type of moon thing, by the way.
Yeah,
it's not,
it is. Yep.
It's not menses.
Yes, it's secular. Just
I was
like,
really hoping it was menstruation.
You know, we'll talk about this later, but yeah. Well, we're going to talk a lot about this later.
We're going to talk a lot about menstruation. I mean, that's pretty much the content of most of our offline chats.
It is, yeah. Welcome to my other podcast, the one that we talk about menses.
The sister podcast, or rather the sisterhood podcast?
Oh, it's actually the Aunt Flowcast.
On that note.
Good night, everybody. Sweet dreams.
The Squid Sisters are a new hit group comprised of Callie and Marie. They're the hottest stars in the Inkling world.